Hi, this is JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Here at UK Health Radio, we're hugely saddened by the loss at New Year of my co-presenter, Dr. Mark Goulston. But we hope that you'll appreciate the chance to hear once again one of our Hurt Less, Live More shows in honour of a special friend. Here it is now. Hello and welcome to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston, psychiatrist and coach. And Mark, it's just me and you today. What were we going to be talking about? I think it was something along your area of expertise.
Well, we're going to talk about the holidays and about, and today we'll focus on Christmas. But since this is Hurt Less, Live More, rather than trying to get people in a rah-rah mood, maybe we can address the people who feel stressed by the holidays.
Yeah, and, good idea. There's a lot of them around.
How they can feel better.
And good.
So I'm wondering if we can share, or you can share, any memories from you in the holidays growing up. Were they stressful? Were they celebratory? Or some were one way and others were the other way?
We didn't really make a massive deal out of Christmas because it was never the big celebration in Scotland. That's New Year. And so it was never the massive thing that a lot of families might have enjoyed. We would have a Christmas tree with glass baubles on it. And I remember actually having live, you know, real candles perching on the Christmas tree. I don't think anybody would do that today for health and safety reasons, but it was rather magical. So that kind of thing was magical. And then there would be a present or two, nothing massive, nothing fancy. And we might have the grandparents round for lunch, but it wouldn't be turkey. I didn't really eat turkey. In fact, still don't eat turkey, to be honest with you. It was never something that we really ate growing up. So it would be a special roast, a lamb or not a whole lamb, but lamb or beef or maybe just even a chicken. And we would just have some time around the table and that would be that. And then, you know, big British tradition at Christmas is to sit around the television and either watch or not watch, in those days, what would have been the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. This year, it'll be the King's Christmas speech. And, you know, overeat, have lots of chocolate, lots of sweet stuff, and lots of booze. Not me when I was a child, but my parents and older siblings. So, you know, it was a fairly low-key affair, but yet, you know, it was fun. At school, we did a nativity play usually. You know, we went through all of those motions, but it was never a massive deal. And I do remember one morning getting into real trouble. I can't remember how old I was. I must have been about seven or eight. And I decided I wanted to see what everybody else had got for Christmas. So I opened all the Christmas presents lying underneath the tree. And that didn't go down very well. I got royally told off for that and felt really bad, but did try very hard to wrap the presents up again. It's not like everybody came down with everything lined up on a table or something like that. But I was just so curious to see what everybody had got. I suppose I was so excited that, you know, all these presents were there and I wanted to know what they were. So yeah, before everybody else came down for breakfast, I'd been into all the presents and opened them. I was a bad child that year. What about you? You grew up in a Jewish family.
Right. I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. And what I remembered is, you know, Hanukkah, you know, always seems at varying times. So it wasn't around December 25th. And so it would seem to start earlier. It would never be as late as Christmas, but it always felt a little bit kind of out of sync But we look forward to it. You know, there was an exchange of presents and an excitement of seeing what you got. And I'm trying to remember if, because I'm a grandparent now and I have four grandchildren, five and under, and I'm trying to remember if maybe I wasn't competitive by nature, but, you know, I'll often notice children, I guess it depends on their own ability to feel good about what they have, or are they looking at, you know, one their sibling, oh, my sibling got something better,
yes.
Or comparing those kinds of things. Or when you go to school, or you go back to school after the holidays, you know, children are often showing or talking about what they got, and, you know, and what that must be like for the people who come from more difficult circumstances who didn't get much of anything. And
yeah.
I think a good practice to do, and something that we did a little bit of with our children, but I think we should have done much more, is I think if you can, as a family, volunteer and go to a soup kitchen and go help out.
Yeah.
Because the gratitude you'll often see in the eyes of people who have nothing is quite touching, inspiring, and uplifting. And I think it's something, I guess it depends. Depending on the values of the family, there are families who will do that every year and families who never do that. And I think that's a good practice if you're listening in. That here's the irony. One of the ways to overcome feeling deprived is to be generous.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And I've often volunteered on Christmas Day at a homeless shelter. I'm keenly aware how easy it is for people to become homeless. And many, many years I would spend Christmas on my own. And a lot of people would try to have me spend time with them at Christmas because I wasn't coming back to Scotland for Christmas. And I really didn't enjoy that. I always felt I was intruding on a family's, their own, you know, special celebration, their own traditions. And then there was one year where I was a guest of a family, and I have never seen such a display of conspicuous consumerism in my life. And without any thought, of course, they were sharing 10 million presents each. And of course, me as the guest, last minute, was sitting there with nothing virtually. And I did get, I mean, I understood, and that's fine. You know, I didn't expect anything, but it did strike me how it feels to see all these things, these presents, these gifts flying around to other people and nothing coming your way. It was a weird, weird feeling. But many, many years I've volunteered in a homeless shelter. That's where I like to go if I'm going to do that kind of thing. And I've been brought to tears many, many a year with the gratitude and just, you know, knowing that I could just help bring some joy to some people's lives. And I once volunteered at a shelter in London. It had been a Salvation Army shelter. It's been closed down since, which I think is a real shame. And there were a lot of refugees there. So a lot of people who weren't Christian. They weren't Christian. They were maybe Muslim. We had to have two sittings for Christmas dinner. One, because one year it was Ramadan. So, you know, we had to have a sitting after when they could eat, and a sitting for everybody who was not doing the whole fasting thing. But the gratitude was extraordinary and everybody understood. And I remember that year, the Salvation Army band came and we started playing Christmas carols as well. And even though people weren't Christian, many of them, they still kind of enjoyed the spirit. People talk about the spirit of Christmas, don't they? And they did seem to enjoy that spirit of giving. So, yeah, I was always very honored to do that.
You're triggering a number of experiences I've had, which weren't really about the holidays, but of going to places where, whether it was visiting juveniles in juvenile detention, you know, these are going to be future future adult inmates, you know, because most of them don't make it out, and they were just so appreciative,
yeah,
of your coming there and spending time with them, and the look in their eyes was just remarkable. Can I share an anecdote? It's not about Christmas, but it is about weekend.
Yeah, we don't have to stick to Christmas. I'm sure it'd be a good one.
So, a good friend of mine is a woman named Kathy Doheny, Dohenny, and she used to write for the Los Angeles Times. And she said, you want to join me? I'm going to go to Juvenile Hall, which is outside of Los Angeles. And these are for teenagers, I think, 11 through 17. At 18, they go into, you know, adult facilities. And she was going to talk about, you know, the positive effect of keeping a journal and, you know, and expressing yourself. And so we went there for the day, and I think we visited six groups or seven groups, you know, because every year at a different grade, they all had orange, you know, jumpsuits on, a prison thing. And they looked so innocent. And these were, you know, youngsters who had set fires, who had killed people, you know, they were underage. And it was interesting because we were talking about, you know, the uplifting power of keeping a journal. And when we visited with the 17-year-olds, you know, their questions were, well, can someone steal what you write? I mean, or how much money can you make from that? Or if you write something down and someone takes it, can they steal and make money for themselves and all that? So they were a little bit more hardened and cynical. But what really touched me, I think, was the youngest group. And these were 11-year-olds. I remember they paraded them into this room, I think, outside of a cafeteria. And the cells that they lived in were just horrendous. I mean, the cells were probably the size of, you know, maybe two beds, three beds. I mean, that's how small they were. And there was like a little peephole where they could look out, you know, from their from the room they were in. And so they paraded them out, and they had their hands behind their back while they were paraded, and they sat down, and we talked about writing and all that sort of thing. And then at the end, they asked, well, do you have any questions for Kathy and Mark, or Dr. Mark? And I remember this one little boy, he raised his hand and he said, can I have your autographs? And Kathy said, well, sure. And I said, yeah, we'd be happy to, but we're not famous. We're not all that special. And I remember he looked at us and his eyes teared up and he said, you came here to see us. That's pretty special.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. Yeah.
It was touching. So,
yeah, very touching. And, you know, I've had some experiences again, you know, when I've gone to shelters and spent time with people, I actually really enjoyed it because, you know, we could have a good time. Maybe partly because there's no family pressures, you know, nobody's expecting you to do anything or be anybody other than yourself. And, you know, we've had sing songs at some places, or we've just played board games, or, you know, we've watched TV together and chatted, and, you know, served cups of tea and goodness knows what. And people have come up to me and had tears in their eyes and said, thank you for coming. It does mean a lot. It means a lot that you take the time and the effort. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing sometimes how a small gesture can change people's lives.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're coming up towards a break. I'm looking at our clock.
We are. We are. Should we take the break now? And then we'll come back and talk some more about it. Okay, great. Right. So we will be back right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and Dr. Mark Gulston. Mark, you were about to launch into a story, an anecdote, I think, before we went to the break.
Yeah, what I was talking about, it's amazing how sometimes such a little gesture can make it have a profound effect. I have a TEDx talk. It's called What Made You Smile Today? And you can find it. Go to TEDx, What Made You Smile Today? And I think it's a pretty good talk. And I wanted to start a movement before the pandemic because, you know, when you reach out to people and you say, what made you smile today? It often, they pause. And they'll look up at the ceiling to think about what made them smile. And when they come and look back at you, their eyes are different because they're reliving something that made them smile. And we actually, we had something called hashtag WMYST. Here's one of the wristbands.
Oh, yeah.
What made you smile today? And so our movement was you'd have these wristbands, and if someone helped you out, a waiter, a TSA agent, someone who wasn't stressed out by having too many people in line, you know, when you'd say, what made you smile today, they would look at you and they'd tell you, and they'd be really appreciative. And the whole idea of the movement was to give them two wristbands and say, you know, you have a great smile. You should make sure you use it every day. And then why don't you give one of these wristbands to someone else and see if we can pass this on? So, but the anecdote I was talking about in my TEDx talk is I remember I was having some interaction by email with some person in India. I think, I don't know that they were homeless because they had a computer, but so we had an exchange. And then I wrote back, I think the young man's name was Arul. And he may have been a young teenager. And I said, Arul, what made you smile today? And he wrote back and he said, nobody as important as you has ever typed my name.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. And he said, and every day I go to my computer and I touch the screen where you type my name.
Oh.
That changed his life.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I'd like to, you know, because I am and psychiatrists have some interest in neuroscience. I think what goes on, if people are interested in that, often when we feel stressed out, something called cortisol peaks in our body. And cortisol is the stress hormone, helps us deal with stress. But one of the ways it helps us deal with stress is it kind of causes our brain to become rigid. And if we're in a lot of stress, we launch into fight or flight or freeze. And we're not very relaxed. And one of the ways you can sort of lower that a little bit is through meditation, yoga, and mindfulness. But one of my favorite ways of doing it is to increase oxytocin. So oxytocin is the hormone associated with emotional connection. So with very young mothers, they have high levels of this, so that when their baby is screaming, you know, they can, instead of getting angry, you know, they're able to still maintain that kind of bond. So I think when you can bathe your family or your friends in a conversation where you get them to share anything, like even you can say, you know, what are you most excited about in the holiday? What were you most looking forward to? What were you most nervous about? What was your best memory about the holidays? What were your worst memories? But the more you get them to talk and then not interrupt them, and then get them to say, oh, say more about that incident that that was a great memory, and say more about that memory that, you know, was kind of an upsetting memory. What happens is when people start to share an incident so clearly that you can see it with your eyes, they re-feel it. And when they're re-feeling it in your presence, their oxytocin spikes. And oxytocin has a different countering effect to high cortisol.
Right. Yeah. I love that idea, actually. And it's a brilliant idea for this time of year, because so many people are too busy and too stressed to just sit there and actually take the time and talk and listen. Loving your book cover behind you, Just Listen. We don't do that enough, do we?
That is so true. Something that's been happening recently, now that you bring up the listening thing, some of the people that I'm coaching, I'm actually getting a little bit better at listening. And what I realize is, and I have to show self-restraint, because there's a part of me that needs to show off how smart I am and et cetera. It's all based on insecurity.
I'd never notice, Mark.
It takes one to
Oh, yeah, true.
But what I've discovered is when you can just listen and have zero agenda, other than knowing that if they can share whatever they're sharing, and you don't evaluate it, you don't judge it, you actually invite them to say a little bit more about that. You know, what I've noticed is how it calms people down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a simple thing, as you say. You know, we talk about these things, many things on this show and other shows, and I just think we are so bad at teaching our children these very simple, I suppose these days they'd be called life hacks, right? I hate that term, but very simple ways of easing our way through the world, and really easing other people's ways through the world by just the most simple things and behaviors and words as well. And just allowing that to land, settle. Yeah.
Well, let me offer some life hack tactics that you can use not just around the holidays, but anywhere. If you, when people are speaking to you, if you can notice when they use hyperbole, like awful, amazing, terrific.
Or like I hate that, which I've just said.
After they say that, so if you can notice that, and you say to them, say a little bit more about the I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch them say more. And then, so that opens their mind a little bit to you. But if you want to be someone who helps them further, you can say, can you give me an example of that? Give me an example of your biggest I hate that. You just talked about something that frustrated you. Tell me about something you really hate.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's say more, give me an example. And then the last thing, after someone shares that with you, you could say, what was that like for you? So those are three nice ways to help someone to open up to you. And then if you can just try to be aware of the tone, of the energy, you'll see them just relax.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. It's very powerful. And also, that nobody needs to come across as the big, I'm trying to be a psychiatrist here and pretending you're on the couch, right? It's not, it's conversational, isn't it?
Right. It's, in my book, Just Listen, I come up with these little acronyms, and I talk about in conversations, try to be a PAL. And what PAL stands for is purposeful, agendaless listening. Purposeful, agendaless listening. And what that means is don't have an agenda. Don't have something where you're trying to persuade or convince them or maneuver them. And if your purpose is to be able to increase the emotional connection between the two of you, just listen, being guided by that purpose, as opposed to having some sort of an agenda where you're trying to maneuver.
Yeah. Yeah, and people talk about active listening. And mm-hmm. Can you explain to us what that is as well? Is that any different to what you've been talking about?
I think what it is that phrase active listening because it's paradoxical because you don't think of listening as active. You think of talking as active. And so I think active listening is probably purposeful listening, that you're actively listening to them, with the purpose of enabling them to speak their truth, speak what's really going on. A couple of my favorite tactics or questions, but again, you don't have to be a psychiatrist to do this. And I learned it actually from someone in the military who ran the Marines in the 1990s. And we were part of a transition program that he started. And he would speak to transitioning Marines. And he'd say, what's going on? What's going on, Marine? And they would say whatever it was. And he would hit them with the five reallys. He would say, well, I understand it's different to be in a war zone than to be home. But what's really going on? And they'd go a little deeper. Well, I'm getting into arguments with my family and, they just don't get it. Well, I understand. We're all getting into those kind of arguments. But what's really going on? And he said, when you get to the fourth or fifth really, they would really open up about what's really going on. Now, the important thing is, and again, he wasn't a psychiatrist. The important thing is that if you get people to open up like that, you don't then want to do, I don't know if they know the term in England, a bait and switch, where you've baited them to open up and share something, and then you change the subject.
Okay.
So you want to allow it to breathe. And again, the question that I just said is when they really do open up, to be able to say, what was that like for you? Or what's that like for you? And then just try to watch and actually feel the difference between the two of you. And it can be very mutually calming.
Yeah, I can see that. I really can. And, you know, and again, you know, around a time like, you know, or I suppose in the States, it goes from Thanksgiving through to the New Year. And I guess it's such a busy time. People are so stressed. If you have a family and you're cooking for everybody, you're even more stressed. Forget the buying presents, you know, that's stressful enough. But if then you're cooking and you're entertaining and you've got all the family dynamics all in one room, and sometimes that can be pretty explosive. It's tough finding the time to just listen, isn't it? But I think it's something that we need to aim to do more of, so that we can ease everybody's way through this life, and particularly a time like this. And a lot of people are feeling a bit tender right now, aren't they?
Tender in the negative sense, meaning a little raw and exposed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's especially true. And I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, maybe after the break, we'll talk more about this. Recently, I've been writing about how the high tech world has brainwashed us to chase after excitement at the cost of connection.
And
because, you know, when you have that adrenaline rush of excitement, you crash off it, you'll do anything to regain it, which leads to a lot of conspicuous consumption.
Yeah.
Which is not fulfilling. It's exciting, but then when the excitement goes away, oh, I need more. I need to get more of this. And we're losing our connections between each other.
I think that's so true. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that and other things after we come back from our next break. So we've got some messages from our sponsors coming up, and we'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, Dr. Mark Goulston, psychiatrist and coach. And you're listening to us on the world's number one talk health radio station. And Mark, before the break, we were talking about how people, especially at this time of year, can start feeling a little bit sort of, you know, vulnerable, tender, a little bit sort of hurt. And we were going to talk a little bit more about how we can get through that.
Well, you know, I speak in tangents. I don't speak in a straight line. And I'm very appreciative of you allowing me to do that. And sometimes JJ will have this look like, where the heck are you going with this?
Never. I just listen.
To which I'll respond, I don't know. But here's a tangent about raw and tender things. And I think we may have talked about this on a different episode. I like to simplify things so that people can grasp them. And tell me if you agree with this. I believe that one of the things that triggers a lot of depression is that we had an expectation of something that didn't happen and we were counting too much on it. We plummet, you know, and sometimes if our experience, especially growing up, is that we went into that, we were all alone. Our parents, you know, weren't much help, either because they weren't much help or because they didn't even know how to be helpful. And I bring this up because the holidays are filled with all kinds of expectations.
I was just going to say, expectations are so high.
Yeah. Right. And so I think it makes all of us vulnerable to being disappointed that certain expectations didn't happen. And then we can really plummet from that. So again, I like to, when I can, give practical tactics. And if you can reframe in your mind, if you agree with me that depression is often associated with your having an expectation that didn't happen and you plummet, you can't deal with it. If you can frame in your mind, oh, this is my opportunity to develop some mental resilience. So instead of maybe feeling sorry for myself and isolating for days to a week or being really moody, if you can reframe that a failed expectation is your best opportunity to bounce back from it and develop resilience. And one of the tactics that I learned, and I wish I can remember the person who gave it to me. I want to give him credit, but I can't remember his name. He had this great tactic where he would say, when those things happen, you say in your mind, up until now, I always beat. And so let's say you have an expectation and it didn't work out. And you can say to yourself, up until now, you know, whenever I expected something to go well and it didn't, I fell apart. I got angry at other people. I ate too much. I drank too much. It's a way of pausing, because what most people don't realize is we have a choice. We don't have to react and respond the way we always have, which has frequently not been positive. And so if we can just say, up until now, you know, when my expectation fell apart, I went out and got drunk, embarrassed myself, had to apologize. Just being able to know that and say, well, what would be a better choice to do? And so one of the things I'm giving you is this is a way to build resilience on the spot.
Yeah.
Looking at expectations differently. Something else, a tactic that I like to use with people is the majority of people, I'd say 90% of people, have hindsight, but they don't have foresight. They have what we call a reverse cognitive bias. They wait for something to happen, and then they react to it. And if that didn't happen, the reaction is usually negative. And so given the fact that people wait for something to happen and then they react to it, you know, one of the things you can do around the holidays, or you can reach out to your friends and family and say, I have a request. I would like all of us to imagine that it's January 2nd or January 3rd. And we each look back and say, that was the best New Year's and holidays we've had in years. So imagine it's already happened and you say that. So what happened so that you could say that was a good one as opposed to, oh, another disappointment? And so when you can reframe your mind into the way most of us think, for instance, I suggest the families or couples who go on vacations, before they go, say, I'd like all of us to imagine that when we finish the vacation, we all look at each other and say, that was so amazing. We need to make sure we do that more often. So what happens in this trip, on this vacation, as opposed to our saying, oh, let's not do that again anytime soon. And you can usually come up with things. Well, you know, everybody gets to do something they wanted to do. People are more cooperative instead of being finicky and uncooperative and saying, I don't want to do that, and spoiling each other's appetite. So I hope listeners will find those tactics a little helpful, that you can deal with those expectations by seeing it as your best chance to develop resilience and maybe prevent depression. And also, if that's going to happen, catapult yourself to a time after the event has happened, and then say, and imagine saying, that was wonderful.
It is really powerful. It does work as well, because your brain is entrained to seek the answers and move forward in a way that is going to make things work out okay. It's really quite extraordinary how it works. And I've taught a similar thing to people who have been really worried about falling apart at Christmas because they have the entire family arriving and they've got to cook, I know, huge turkeys and everything, and they're just kind of overwhelmed. And if you can imagine going through the cooking, imagine it going absolutely beautifully, imagine everybody being so appreciative, hear them telling you how wonderful the food is, you know, watch the whole thing as if in high definition movie film in your head, and right to the very end where everybody is so happy, so satisfied, everybody's been really well behaved, no big fights, and then see yourself after doing the washing up, very happy, or having somebody help you wash up, very happy and satisfied and relaxed. And there's something magical happens in that somehow you have entrained your brain to look for the solutions rather than the problem. And you end up coming out the other end so much better. I do that with people as well, by the way. People who need to speak in public and are scared, I do a similar kind of exercise with them too. So you can walk through it and see how it can be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I love that. I remember I gave a talk years ago, and we were videoing it, and I said, we're going to video this, and I'll probably chop it up. So before I get started, I'd like all of you to stand up and give me a standing ovation.
That's one way of doing it.
Worthy of it, but if I'm not worthy of it, at least I have the video footage.
I love that. I would never have been able to do that, I don't think. But I think you might just have given me permission to, because I'm thinking in my head, if Mark can do it, I can do it.
Wow, I haven't thought about that in years. But getting back to in training, here's something else. There are people that, come to our holidays and they spoil it for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
and we can't disinvite them. You know, it's too awkward. So a tactic that I suggest is you have the man of the house, if there's a man involved, reach out to that difficult person ahead of time. And you have the man do it because men do not ask for anything. So it's much charming. And you reach out to that person and say, you know, I'd like to ask you a favor. When we have, when we get together for Christmas or New Year's, we have no idea what kind of year people have had. And I'd like to count on you to go around to people and ask them how they're doing. You know, because we just don't know what's going on in people's lives. And you're an important part of our family get together because we haven't figured out how to get rid of you. No, you don't say that.
But, no, don't say that.
But I'd like to count on you that, you know, when we get together, that you'll try to help people feel at ease and ask them, how is your year going? And are you feeling good about the new year? It's going to make it difficult for them to say, no, I was planning on coming and spoiling everyone's time. That's my gift to them. So it's going to be difficult for them to say that when you reach out as the man of the house. And they might say, I don't know. And then when they arrive, you go over to them and you greet them and you may touch them, tap them on the shoulder and say, remember that talk we had? Oh, I would really appreciate it if you would do that. And one of the reason that can disarm them is because you're treating them as if they're important.
Mm.
Sometimes people misbehave because they feel the world has treated them like they're unimportant, and now they're going to get even with everyone by spoiling their time.
I like that. I do like that. And, you know, most families have somebody like that in the family who will come at a time like Christmas or any, you know, Thanksgiving or anything like that and spoil the party. Yeah, really like that. So hopefully we're coming towards the end of this show. Hopefully our listeners will have picked up some tips on how to get through what might be a stressful time, but for a lot of people, it really isn't stressful. A lot of people just thrive on just having an entire family gathering with people they haven't seen in ages, and you know, they absolutely love it. But for a lot of people, it is a bit stressful, and for some people, just being in a room with so many people is stressful. And if you're a bit like me, I used to just shut up and sit in the corner when I was younger, you know, and didn't really engage. And people would say I was very shy. Maybe I was. And then, you know, if there's somebody who's like that in a group, what would you suggest? I mean, do you try to draw them out or do you just let them be? Because, you know, you can also feel a bit sort of picked upon if somebody tries to say, oh, come on, you know, help us do this. Come and join in this. What do you think the best approach would be?
Well, I think you should approach them and give them the doubt that if they came there and they decided to attend, their intention wasn't, I'm going to go there and sit in the corner. Often they're emotionally shy. They don't have the skills. They don't know how to make talk. They don't know how to do anything. And so go up to them. And it was interesting because I used to be very, well, I still am shy. And I remember going to some high school reunions with my wife and ruining the time for her because I would sit in the corner and say, when can we leave? And then I decided that's pretty crappy. So one year I said, I'm going to make this different. By the end of the evening, I'm going to meet five people and they're going to be glad they met me. And at the end, I did. And I said to myself, what the heck did I do differently? And what I did is when I went up to people, I asked them questions where they would say, this is what I think. This is what I feel. This is what I would do. Feelings, thoughts, and actions. And when you get people to express those, they feel known by you. So it was a reunion, and it was my wife's 25th reunion. I said, what do you think about coming here? And it's 25 years since, you know, you graduated high school. And then they'd start talking about it. You know, what does it feel like when you see some people are in better shape and other people really aren't? And you know, by the way, did you know my wife, you know, when she was in high school? And then when they express that, they're opening up. And then the third channel, which is you ask something about what would you do differently? You know, if we make it here, if we come back in 10 years for the next reunion, what would you like to do differently between now and then so that if we see you in 10 years, you know, it's really, you know, you get to show up and feel really good about the next 10 years. So when you can pull out of people a feeling, a thought, and an action, they feel like you know them. And these people, they shook my hands with two hands and they said, oh, it was really good speaking to you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, there's another great tip for us. And it's on that note, it's time for us to go. It's been fun today. I've enjoyed thinking of, you know, all the fun that we can have at this time of year and avoid all the pitfalls. It's been great. So yeah, we'll be back with another show very soon. But for now, Mark, it's time to go. What do you think? I mean, you enjoyed the show today?
I loved it. Now I can go back to my Grinch self.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the same. I'll be doing exactly the same. So thank you to everybody for listening. We've really enjoyed it. And we hope that you'll join us again here on UK Health Radio for Hurt Less, Live More. Until then, it's goodbye from both of us. Goodbye.